Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, hey, it's the month of May. There are so many things to praise and rejoice over. St. Paul says those are the things that deserve our attention. Think about that kind of stuff, right? Sure, let's do it. But let's not just think about it. Let's talk about it, too. That's what we try to do on Call Me Catholic anyway. Each week, we think and we talk about the good stuff. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of conversation about the good stuff, all intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can all wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. That's our motto. And toward that end, I give you Jimmy G, my engineer and chief fact checker. Hey, Jimmy G, is there any news in your family?
Well, yeah, I guess there is. I'm officially a grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
Baby
you.
Joy arrived yes. on Tuesday?
It was last Sunday.
Last Sunday. Okay, yeah. Beautiful. Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank
I can
you.
Only imagine the thrill of being a grandparent. I hope to someday experience
it's
it.
It's otherworldly. Yes.
And you're going up to visit. She doesn't live in the neighborhood, so you're going up to visit her in a couple
right,
of weeks.
Right, right. And the amazing thing is she was born on my dad's birthday.
Oh, what a blessing.
Well, my dad, you know, passed 9 years ago. So just to have her born on my dad's birthday
is lovely.
Pretty
and
amazing.
Your son and daughter-in-law are so precious. So we wish them the very best and welcome to the world, baby Joy.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, downstairs as I was coming into the studio this morning, I saw all the little children lined up for their first communion
oh,
today
yeah.
here.
I saw them out the window.
And doesn't that just touch your heart? And you think you'll have little Joy doing that in what
yes.
maybe 9 years? How old are they when they do that with her little white dress?
I don't know. 7 years old?
Second grade.
Second
yeah.
grade,
second
I think. Grade. Yeah.
Okay. Lovely.
Yeah.
And happy Cinco de Mayo. It's also Cinco de Mayo
That's
today.
Right.
So we have lots of things going on. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the exquisite Christ Cathedral campus in the Diocese of Orange, Southern California. I remember last week, nobody stopped me, Mr. Chief Fact Checker, because I said the Diocese of Orange is situated between San Diego and San Diego.
I wasn't going to call you out live on the air.
I didn't notice that until I saw on Facebook. Now, if you don't believe me from where we are located, you can go to our Facebook page and actually get a bird's eye view of what's going on in our studio. So go to our Facebook page if you're home and if you're not driving. Don't do this when you're driving. But it's facebook.com/callmecatholic and Marvelous Matt has put up a live stream of the show. So you can watch it now. You can watch it later. You can share it with friends. And we all say hello to all our Facebook live viewers. Now, and you get to see our lovely guests that I'm going to introduce in a minute. Now, I have to say yesterday was a day you could definitely call me Catholic. You know, obviously you can call me Catholic every minute of every day of the year. But you know, some days the agenda is really driven by a lot of church-oriented activities.
Mm.
So let me tell you what my day was like yesterday. Mm. It started, you were at the same event that I was in the morning. Our Orange Diocese has a fabulous breakfast that is on business and ethics. It's called the Orange Catholic Foundation Business and Ethics Breakfast.
Right.
And it is considered the largest nonprofit breakfast gathering in the county, you know, all year. It attracted 1,000 people and understandably so because Cardinal Dolan was the featured keynote speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Father Dave Dwyer was the MC. We had some wonderful honored guests that they were recognizing for their contributions to business and ethics,
right.
ethical practices mm-hmm. in the Diocese of Orange. So it was a great, great event. Really enjoyed that and really proud of our diocese for such a really outstanding program. They raise money through that event for the Catholic school scholarships.
That's right.
And they told the story of this one mother and daughter. It was such a touching story. A woman who has a single mom who has cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. confined to a wheelchair. And every morning she and her little daughter, second grade daughter, get up and they take, she's by wheelchair. She sits on her mother's lap. And first they go to the bus that takes them to the Metrolink station that takes them to a place where then they walk over here to the school here on the campus at Christ Cathedral. Just beautiful. And the scholarships have helped her send her daughter to the school. And every day they go through that long, long drive.
What a story that was.
That was a beautiful story. And then they brought the mother and the daughter onto the stage. So that was really a moving testimony and really lovely way to encourage people to contribute to Catholic education. Mm. So that was the first part of the day. Then from there, I was invited to speak at the First Friday Friars organization. Here, I'm holding it up for you to see. I'd never heard of this organization here in the Diocese of Orange, but it's a wonderful fraternity of Catholic men. It was founded in 1959 by Carl Karcher, a great Catholic man himself. And they get together the first Friday of every month. They have a lunch and they have a speaker and they have great fellowship. So I enjoyed speaking with them. I appreciate it. And they're looking for new members. So if you want to find out more about them, Google First. Yeah, just go to firstfridayfriars.org and sign up for that. I think you'll get a lot of spiritual and sort of social enrichment through that affiliation.
Nice.
And then from there, I had a little break, and then my husband and I went to a fundraiser for our local parish who was trying to raise money for a pipe organ.
Wow. What a busy
day. So it was from the large scale, 1,000 people arena to a smaller, audience of 100 down to just a gathering in someone's home. But I learned a lot about pipe organs last night.
Well, the funny thing is I saw your husband at the event and I said, "Where's Peggy?" And he said, "Oh, she's speaking. She's off speaking."
I was there. I had to leave rather quickly at the end of the program. But May is like that. Spring has sprung and everybody has a little more energy. So our calendars fill up quickly. Confirmations, graduations, Mother's Day. It's kind of an expensive month, too.
Hey,
buy lots of cards. And if you want to send your mother a Mother's Day card, go out and get it now. Don't wait till the last minute because then the selection is really, really bad. And there's sappy stuff left. Better yet, just actually write your mom a note. I think she'd appreciate that even more than a Hallmark card.
These are good tips. Pay heed, people.
Mm-hmm.
Pay heed.
Okay. Now, speaking of Mother's Day, we have a mother-daughter duo in the studio with us today. I put a little too much emphasis on that duo, didn't I?
Duo.
A mother-daughter team with us today who each one of them has distinguished themselves in the field of youth ministry in our church. Pam Hurwitz has worked with kids and their parents most of her adult life, serving not only as a parish youth minister, but also as a coordinator for youth and young adult programs throughout the whole diocese at one time. Her daughter, Jillian Rhodes, has followed in her mother's excellent footsteps and runs one of the most popular and respected youth ministries in the Diocese of Orange, and that's saying a lot. Together, Pam and Jillian are now collaborating on a ministry that reaches out to families who are looking for ways to grow the values of our faith in their household. We need some resources. We need tools for that. You're going to love meeting Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes in just a minute. So I'm so glad they're in the studio with us. And if you're watching us, you can see them. But first up, it is our Call Me Catholic countdown this week, which is going to be, just kind of a phrase. It's just a friendly homage to the month of May. We'll call it the May Potpourri of Facts. Top 5 things about May. Keeping it simple today.
All right,
okay.
I like that.
You like that? So do you have some music for me?
I sure do.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
I thought you were going to reach down and get a drum set or something the way you were hesitating there.
I was pausing for effect.
Okay. Okay, it's May, it's May. Remember that song from Camelot? It's May, it's May. Actually, that's probably not a Call Me Catholic kind of song.
I remember April flowers bring May showers.
Okay, that's lovelier. Okay, so number 5 in my, facts about May. Easter season is right now. We are still in Easter season. It continues on until May 20th when we have Pentecost Sunday. So we're going to have 3 varieties of vestments. So right now we are wearing white vestments, right? Because it's still the Easter season. On Pentecost Sunday, we're going to see the red vestments. And then we go into ordinary time for the rest of May, and you're going to see green vestments. So in keeping with this very colorful month of blossoms, we see a lot of colors in the liturgical vestments during this time of year. Okay, number 4, the intention of the Holy Father for the month of May. Now, I don't know whether you actually pay attention to this, but as Catholics, we are asked by our Pope to pray for very specific things during each month. And it's posted, so you can look it up. I think EWTN keeps it posted, or you can just Google Pope's intentions for the month. But usually they're of a universal nature or of an evangelical nature. Sometimes he puts in an extra one in there if somebody needs disaster relief or something like that. So for the month of May in 2018, we are to pray for the mission of the laity, the lay faithful. That's all of us in the studio right now, including you, Jimmy G, that the lay faithful may fulfill their specific missions by responding with creativity, to the challenges that face the world today. And I really call attention to that because it suits our guests beautifully because they are very creative and they are very much in the lay faithful category. Okay. Number three, turns out May, the month of May, is kind of a prima donna. In any single year, no other month begins or ends on the same day of the week as May. So May 1st, 2018 was a Tuesday. May 31st, the last day of the month, is going to be a Thursday. No other month in 2018 begins on a Tuesday or ends on a Thursday because May just ain't having that kind of competition, I guess.
Wow.
Who knew May had such an attitude?
I got to check the facts on that.
Okay, now May 20th, I mentioned number two. Now, my number two fact about May. May 20th, as I mentioned, is Pentecost Sunday. So there is a very cool recipe for a Pentecost cake that's all over the internet. And it is white with strawberries because the purity of the Holy Spirit and the flames of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire. So I'll post that recipe on our Facebook page too. So you'll have something to practice so that when May 20th comes along, you'll have a lovely dessert for your family. Number one fact about May, you know this, folks. It's the month of Mary. May processions and May crownings. You know, originally back in primitive times and in through, you know, the middle part of current history, it was devoted to the goddess of fertility. So the Catholic Church got in there and hijacked that whole concept, and we devoted it to Mary. And it's a beautiful month for Mary because of everything's in bloom, and we are celebrating the flowering of Mary's spirituality, more light in the spring, new growth and beauty, all beautiful reflections of our Blessed Mother. So I hope you have access to a Marian shrine in your area, in your parish, or you can build one in your home, a little Marian statue or holy card with some flowers from your garden or your neighbor's garden if they have better flowers. But, you know, it's a beautiful month that we devote to Mary. And I was reminded of this too because my niece sent us all a video of her two little sons. Apparently every night her husband sings the Immaculate Mary, our hearts are on fire. And so she showed us this picture of her little sons, Liam and Theo, singing Salve, Salve, Salve Regina. Never seen that song sung with so much enthusiasm. That's when I'm really grateful for modern technology because with all its trials and maintenance, it can share those very sweet moments. So
we can share that in our page too.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to ask permission from the mother. But you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. You can watch a live stream of the show or you can just check in with it later. Join our family. Follow us. Like us. We just want to give you a big Facebook embrace.
A big hug.
Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes are up next, mother and daughter, to talk about their work in youth ministry and also their new Faith Family Collective, a ministry helping families cultivate better relationships at home. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hi, everybody, and hello, May. We have been waiting for you. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and we are glad you have tuned in to Call Me Catholic today because we are celebrating the month of May. They say March winds and April showers bring forth May flowers. That's certainly the case in our neck of the woods. Hopefully it's true in your neighborhood as well. Turns out it also brings forth wonderful guests for you to enjoy and meet. Today, in honor of this month of Mary and mothers, we have a mother-daughter team with us. Not just your average mother-daughter duo. I'm having trouble with that alliteration today. Not just any average mother-daughter duo, but two women who have made a tremendous contribution to our youth here in the Diocese of Orange. Pam Hurwitz is the preeminent youth ministry maven in our region. After successfully running 8 different after-school programs in Orange County, Pam transferred her knowledge exclusively to youth ministry work in our diocese and eventually served as coordinator for youth and young adult programs throughout the diocese. Her experience and successful track record in this field now makes her a really sought-after speaker as well. She addresses audiences on the subjects of building effective youth ministry programs in parishes and building home lives that radiate faith and values for families struggling with today's modern culture and the very different message that our kids are getting. Her daughter, Jillian Rhodes, has taken her mother's model and given it her own signature. Jillian is the youth minister and confirmation coordinator at St. Anne's here in the Diocese of Orange. It is arguably the most popular and well-attended youth program in our diocese. You hear her giggling. And it's just a little tiny kind of cottage church with a burgeoning youth minister. Together, Pam and Jillian are now launching a new ministry of sorts called Faith and Family Collective, a resource to help families grow healthy homes. Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
It's really fun to have you both here. And you do have stellar reputations for your work. And that's a tough field to develop a stellar reputation in. Okay, so Pam, my first question, my first lob to you.
Okay.
Who are more challenging to work with, the kids or the parents?
That is a good question.
Okay. We're checking her diplomacy skills right off the bat.
Wow. Okay. I would say that I enjoy so much both. Okay. Safe answer. Okay.
Having said that, very well.
I would say that the teens have an energy that has been in my life so contagious. I mean, I loved being able to be a part of empowering them and kind of working with them in a lot of different capacities, building a family with them. And what I really found was that unless I captured the parents also, it wasn't, I couldn't know that the faith was really going to stick, you know? So once I was able to capture the parents, then I could capture the home, and then that teen had a way to continue to live that out after a retreat or after college or after I wasn't necessarily a part of it. So teens are fun and obnoxious and incredible. And,
oh, really?
And so are parents.
That's the mother of three sons.
Parents.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, we were once teens, right?
Yes.
Okay, so,
yes.
So Jillian Rhodes, you are Pam's daughter, and you went into the field yourself. So you hold this great position of youth minister. Was there a moment when you thought, working with these kids, you thought, oh, wow, that's what I was like? Do you ever think, wow, I had no idea I was so much trouble?
Daily. Yeah, they keep me on my toes, but I know I kept my parents on theirs, too. I definitely was a rule follower, but that didn't mean I had my lovely teenage years as well.
Yeah.
And growing up in a home with teenagers that would pick me up from dance class at 10 p.m. and bring me home.
She grew up in a ministry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And was your mom your youth minister?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So just imagine that, teens, if you're listening, how that would look. Yes. At the front of every meeting, at every class, at every retreat, it was my mom.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So you had to be the model child.
Yes. So I tried to be the model child, but I tried. Yeah.
Well, were there times when you thought, oh, man, I wish this wasn't my mom?
All the time. Yeah. And I even thought I didn't. Well, no. I was a teen.
You're a youth minister, Pam. You know this.
What I tell my teens every year at the very beginning, just so you know, this could be your mom. And they all are rolling their eyes. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? So it's a known thing.
Well, have you, in dealing with teens, so I'm going to ask you this first, Pam. Have you ever been shocked? Or is that something as a youth minister and working with teens that you just have to be impervious to?
And you know what? I say that now when I go into groups, because sometimes it's almost like when I come to parishes, it's like people are coming into your home. You know, they're inviting me into their home, really. I mean, this is their space.
Absolutely.
This is, yes. And so they, you know, you want the kids to act, you know, the best they can in their home. And so I tell youth ministers, you cannot shock me. I mean, you cannot shock me. But
you tell them that, but have they ever?
Yes. I mean, I had a very, and anyone who's listening that was a part of San Antonio Youth Ministry knows, I mean, we had a very, very active youth group and some really incredible, incredible teens and leadership that came out of there. But I think that's where I first got shocked, and now you can no longer shock me.
Okay. So, Jillian, you're a young woman that just got into this field. How long have you been the youth minister and confirmation coordinator?
I just finished my third year.
Okay. And believe me, folks, this is a burgeoning youth ministry program coming out of a very small church. It's the coolest youth ministry program in the county. But, Jillian, was there a moment when you were sort of shocked? I mean, you got into this, you felt like a young woman, and you thought, I can understand these kids. I can relate to them. I'm still fairly young. Was there a moment where you said, whoa, this is different than I expected?
All the time. Because I grew up in a home filled with it, I thought that I was smarter than I was in terms of I just felt like I could kind of go with the punches. But there's still, I would say, every year one big shock just with the teens with their lives.
With their lives. Yes. Okay.
Just the amount of distractions. And I feel like I am pretty young. And yet at the same time, just the difference is in high school that exists now compared to when I was in high school, which was 10 years ago, which is crazy. The differences are huge.
How do you deal with these challenges? And I'm assuming you're talking about perhaps, we're not just talking about bad language. We're talking about habits that they have. We're talking about promiscuity, perhaps, the phone. Do you deal with it with discipline or do you deal with it with other means?
Definitely discipline. It's even for retreats, you know, no phones. And it's surprising, though, because you would think I know they are all addicted to their phones. And at the same time, when you do force them to pull away from them, they are very grateful just to be away. And to,
are they now?
Yeah, it is shocking. But most people say, you know what? Thank you for taking away my phone. First few hours is...
It's withdrawal.
Yeah, the Snapchat streaks. We need to send all of them beforehand and all that. So definitely... wrestling with that in terms of discipline, but then also it affects just even their daily lives in terms of how I connect with them. And now we have an Instagram page, and to reach their lives, that's a piece of it, and to become modern. And another piece, though, I would say, is it affects even their self-esteem and the way that they look at the world and the way that they look at themselves, which is just a challenging aspect to look at.
Yeah. I mean, the social media introduces, and Pam, you maybe didn't have to deal with that in the early, in your youth ministry program.
No, exactly.
And so do you have any counsel for her, or do you?
We have talked a lot about it, you know, because it is now just now it's just a given, you know. And I agree with her that the kids, that is one thing I would say that has been a little surprising to me when I first came into youth ministry, and I see it even more now, is this idea of silence and this idea of this generation that is so constantly has stuff in front of them and screen time and that just somehow when they can get quiet and go before the Blessed Sacrament, all of our, you know, parishes have retreats where we expose the Blessed Sacrament and you will just
transformative.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I would not have thought I would ever see, and because it wasn't something that I as a teenager was exposed to. So
maybe it becomes more profound in the context of their life.
Yes, I think so.
You know, the truth of our sacraments.
Yes, yes.
If you can get them there.
Yes.
So do you find that the practices with social media is actually eroding their faith or their access to their faith or their focus on their faith? Is that having a difference with teens?
It keeps them distracted. So that's a piece of it. I think it's an awesome way to reach people, and I've been trying to use it as a resource and as a tool. But then at the same time, there's just so many other people to follow or things to do that the faith does kind of become countercultural in that way. Yeah.
So how do you cope with that? How do you present? Well, like you said, you give them opportunities to sit before the Blessed Sacrament with no phones.
Yes, yes. And that's back to also the fact that I talk to parents a lot. And I think that, again, is I'm still talking to a generation that didn't have phones, you know, who are raising kids now that do and don't completely understand the social media and and all that, the ramifications of all that. So I really do try also to kind of tell them there are some really awesome things about this generation also.
Sure.
And, you know, one thing being that they seem to be super, super service oriented.
It's very philanthropic,
okay,
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they have all done, a lot of them have high school service hours and things like that. Okay. They're very, so I try to put the positive spins on thing. They also are very collaborative, because a lot of these kids have sat in pods at school. I mean, the way that we're teaching now is very different. Okay, so they really, you know, and they are, whatever they kind of choose to be involved with and get committed, they're very, very committed, you know. So when they are able to kind of make that faith turn, they seem to really embrace it as their
own.
It sticks.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, when we come back, I want to pursue some other really interesting aspects. I love all your very valuable input. I want to talk about building a good team.
Yes.
Because I think the people that are working with you in youth ministry are very important. Yeah. And I also want to talk about your new collaboration, Faith and Family, the Faith and Family Collective, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes are going to stay with us so we can continue this chat. We're talking about youth and families and building a culture of life and love in your home. You might have something to say about that, too. If you'd like to make a comment or share a question with our lovely guests, please feel free to give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Pam and Jillian would love to hear from you, and so would I. Maybe you actually have a concern about your youth ministry program. Maybe you'd like to share a success story from your parish or your personal life with youth ministry. The number again is 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt will answer the phone, and we'll put you right through to the studio. But whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we've got lots more to go on Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hey, everybody. Did you know it's May? It's May. I'm not May. I'm Peggy Normandin, and this is Call Me Catholic, where we celebrate and find the good in every month and every season of the year. Seems like everybody has something to say about the month of May. William Shakespeare said, "Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May." Well, I say rough winds can rattle your windows any day of the year. Our guests today know something about that because they work with youth. Now, that is not to disparage our teens and adolescents, but those are years of growth when a life is rife with drama and emotional landmines. Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes are a mother-daughter team who specialize in youth ministry and family ministry. Pam is the mom, and she has a stellar reputation for her decades of work with youth and young adult programs in our Diocese of Orange. Jillian, that's her daughter. She has developed her own distinguished reputation for her remarkably large and popular and very successful youth ministry and confirmation program at a very, very small church here in our diocese. Together, they have launched their new mother-daughter ministry called Faith and Family Collective, a resource for families who want to strengthen their home life and nurture the faith within their four walls. Okay, so before we get into that, because we're going to talk about your Faith and Family Collective, we have a call from a Dr. Sullivan in Orange County. I don't know how Dr. Sullivan is listening to our show, but he or she does have a question for you. Hello, Dr. Sullivan. Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hello. Glad to be on the program.
Great. Do you have a question for our guest today?
Well, I have two questions, and both of them have been answered with the previous conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, then how are you, Dr. Sullivan?
I'm a grandfather of teenagers, and I know that some of the subjects are very evasive, but I know that kids look at some of the traditional policies of the Catholic Church irrelevant in their lives, and we have to try and make them relevant. Sexuality, divorce, contraception. I think all these kids see this in their lives much differently than we did, and that's my question.
You know, Dr. Sullivan, that's an excellent point, and I would like to hear both Jillian and Pam address how do you deal with kids kind of push back on some of the Catholic teaching.
Exactly. Okay, thank you for taking my question.
Okay, Dr. Sullivan, we'll see if either one of them, they're both kind of deferring to each other on that question. Let's start with you, Pam.
Okay, I'm going to say, you know what, always love wins. Love wins.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think I agree very much that this generation, there is some pushback. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that pushback. I think some of the struggle in the Catholic Church that these kids kind of grew up in the midst of, you know, I don't know that they just believe things straight off anymore. I mean, I think they have to experience love. They have to be in a really safe setting to be brought more into ministry. They say that the generation that I was more a part of, the first thing that we would do is that we would adopt the beliefs. Okay, we adopt the beliefs, and then because we were told that, that's what we were supposed to think, and there was, you know, we believed our parents. Then if we took that, then we would allow that to shape our behavior. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we might want to be part of a community. Like, I wasn't really even part of a youth ministry program, okay? So this generation of young people, the first thing they want to do is they want to belong. Okay, so that's the very first thing. And then if they
kind of tribal.
Yes, so if they belong, then the next thing they'll do is they might then, if they allow that to shape their behavior, but the last thing they will do is believe, okay? And so I think we have
So that's interesting. So it's sort of the flip formula for how you were raised.
Yes.
But that's very, very prescient point. I mean, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So now, so I think as youth ministers, we just have to really be providing, which I think Jolene does an incredible job at, is a place that people want to belong to, you know, and where they come and experience Christ's love, experience a family, and then find from that community, gosh, you know, integrity, all these other pieces, and then eventually, like, you know.
Then they understand the teaching when you hear it and you're taught it. It's like you've built the foundation for coming to the light.
Yes, yes.
How much, Jolene, what you were going to make a comment
about
that.
Yes, and I would agree that I also try to make the curriculum and how we teach things just very well-rounded and creating kind of these safe and holy spaces, which are small groups, with awesome and incredible young adult role models who are living out their Catholic faith. And I think that's something that a lot of my team gets to hear on a weekly basis. Oh my gosh, it's so cool how you can be Catholic and in the modern world and still be a young adult and be cool and fun. So kind of giving them a good space to, like my mom said, belong to, and then from there kind of ask the hard questions and be challenged and kind of make it more conversational, I think really helps. And so I do that via the small groups.
So that brings me to the question about building a really good team, because both in youth ministry and in confirmation, you have to have the right models.
Yes.
And do they look like one particular thing? Are they one particular age? Or is one gender better than another? Or how do you build this team of really great, relevant youth leaders?
Yeah, the team, I mean, it's all about the team. I mean, it's all about the team. Because I remember early on in my ministry, somebody, one of the most important things I ever did was someone was asking me to talk about or just to name for myself my greatest weaknesses and to sit and really look at that. And then they said, now, what you need to do is you need to go find people that have those weaknesses as their greatest strengths. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so finding people, one youth minister is not going to have all the gifts, is not going to have the personality to reach everyone. Mm-hmm. So finding people, that have different niches, different natures, you know, you need
different ages.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, all different ages, you know, because I think that's another thing, too. I know Jillian has a lot of young adults. I've always had a lot of young adults, too, and that works well. But I think also seeing older people, seeing married couples, mm-hmm. seeing.
Because those people can also be a substitute parent for them. Some kids don't have a real strong parenting foundation at home. And an older member of a youth ministry team or a confirmation team can be a representative for that, a positive representative for that. How did you go about building your team from scratch? Did you inherit a team when you came on 3 years ago?
I did not. Definitely set a few members for sure. But as you have been mentioning, my parish is very small and quaint.
But how big is your youth? How many kids do you minister to there?
100. About 300.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite phenomenal.
So my team, though, has come from, now, as I said, this is the end of my third year. And just, my mom and I were talking about this and this kind of shoulder tap method in terms of I reached out to a few, then they tap out and, we'll reach a few other people. So that's, a neat kind of thing that just has transpired and happened for me.
And
I do have a lot of young adults.
You went to high school here in the area.
Yes. So people are traveling and willing to help. And I think the key is to ask, because if you don't ask, there's no way that'll happen. Right. And even I can remember I called someone who I knew was moving to Seal Beach. And
well, you can be specific.
Okay.
She's talking about my son.
And I had seen on his Facebook page that he had moved to Seal Beach. And so I called him and we hadn't talked since high school. We were friends in high school. And I said, gosh, Charlie, do you know of anyone that possibly might be interested in Seal Beach? And he's like, Jillian, no, what about me? And I'm like, okay, that's really why I was calling.
And it turns out he lives right down the street from the church where you are youth minister.
Yes.
But I will tell you that it has been an incredibly rewarding experience for him. This is my youngest son, Charlie, and he's been part of her team for 3 years. And, you know, the team, you know, you're not just ministering to teens, you're ministering to each other. And it's been a great way for him to stay connected and actively engaged with his faith because, you know, coming out of school, you lose some of those tools and you're kind of living in a new place where you don't necessarily have a relationship with the parish. So I think you're offering people a really great opportunity when you say, would you like to be part of my team? Or do you know anyone?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is important that just the investment I feel like that I've put into my leadership team has just paid off in dividends.
So you have to minister to the team too.
And give them something to be there for and to even that sense of belonging and community. We really have developed an awesome friendship and they have become such incredible role models and leaders for my teens. And I honestly could not do it without them. So
what are some of the big mistakes that youth ministers make in their work? Pam, and you've seen a lot of it because you've worked with, you know, when you were here coordinating all these programs for the diocese, certainly you saw some people that were not handling it as well as others.
And I would say what we're talking about is one of them is just kind of thinking that somehow maybe you could do it all, you know, and that is not realistic. And then you can't. Another thing about what you're saying about the team is you can only grow your program as far as you can go, you know. So when you have other people and the depth of things that could grow when you bring more people in is exciting. Other things I would say, you know, what's still kind of limited, unfortunately, is the parish resources.
Oh, okay.
And
how much does your parish want to invest in this program?
Exactly. Yeah. And so
it should be a lot, by the way.
Thank you. And I see that it's always on the top of every list, you know, that youth ministry would be youth and young adult ministry is usually one of our top priorities when we talk about things, even on a diocesan level. But somehow that trickled down into a parish, you know. So I think a lot of times they're kind of set up to fail when they don't have realistic, you know, resources behind them in terms of even just people that work there, you know, just those type things. I mean, many of them.
Or money. I mean, it takes money.
And it
takes space.
Yes.
I mean, you have
to,
I know that there are a lot of youth ministers who feel they are the lowest priority in terms of space allocation.
Yes.
If the widows come in and have you're bumped off the calendar for the parish hall that day. I want to just take a minute since we're talking about parish life to encourage our listeners to consider being an EWTN missionary for your parish. That is a really cool volunteer job where you can be our representative in your parish. You can hand out pamphlets. You can keep people apprised of any EWTN programming, like Call Me Catholic, or anything else that's going on with our network. Introduce people to EWTN. It's a really very interesting job. We'd love to have you be a part of our family. If you are interested in that, you can find out more by going to EWTNmissionaries.org or .com. I'm sorry. Either way, you'll find it. But it's cool.
Can you believe that there are people who still don't actually know about this show?
Well, oh yeah,
can
the show.
That?
Yeah, that's. I think that's a vast majority of the population. But no, you know, a lot of people actually maybe have not yet heard about EWTN and the great, great, vast number of programs and education and enrichment that our network does and reaches out to everybody for. So you can be our hands, our voice, our spirit in your parish. So check that out, EWTN Missionaries, and consider signing up. So back to our conversation. And by the way, if you have any questions, we still have time to take some more calls. So the number is 714-282-6034. If you have a great youth ministry program in your parish and you'd like to share that, or if you are struggling to try to build one, or if you had a really great experience through a youth minister in your life, we'd love to hear your testimony. Pam, back to that conversation about building teams. When I was sort of interested in building good leaders or youth ministers and mistakes they make, is there ever a tendency for a youth minister to want to be friends and rather than the authority figure? And how do you balance it? I mean, that's a good question for you too, Jillian, as a young woman.
It is difficult. I think that as the age gap increases, it becomes easier for me too.
You're still in the, you're approaching the ripe old age of like 27 or something.
No, I realize that this is, although it is my ministry and I really feel called to be a youth minister, it is my job and to really set boundaries and just respect me and my personal life as well as the teens and theirs. I do try to make it very kind of family oriented and community oriented, but at the same time allowing room for them to figure things out by themselves, and they have their own high school friends. And
we don't need to be their best friend. Yeah.
And these teens are awesome, and I really do adore each and every one of them, but it's important to set boundaries and have some space too.
But one thing also that she does, and I did as well, that I think is not just to at your parishes waiting for the teens to come to your place, but going out to where they are as well. And so I know Jillian and I did both go, would go to performances at the high schools for the kids.
Oh, I see. Very nice.
You know.
Yeah, very nice.
And I mean, we've been to many dance shows.
Football games. Recitals and games.
But
that's,
yes.
You know, that's
yes.
very, very, very cool. You know, our bishop here, our Bishop Van, he has that kind of ubiquitous presence
yes,
in our diocese.
I agree.
It seems like I see him at concerts, at theater, or you'll see him in the back of the chorus line at one of Jay Sarah's programs or something, musicals. But that's a great pastoral habit to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing, I mean, it was kind of cool because when I was at San Antonio, we were in the backyard of Canyon High School. Okay. And so they ended up in many of our high schools have Catholic clubs, okay, mm-hmm. that the kids have gone and actually initiated clubs on their campuses, and they would have me come and speak. And they even had, I can't believe this, but at Canyon, they even had a place for me to sit for, they would have their pep rallies and during the week, and I would go and I had a certain place.
The honored yeah. place
yes.
of royalty.
And I had the principal of Canyon, you know, come up to me at one of these and just say to me, like, you know what, we cannot tell you what it means to have your kids wearing their sweatshirts here and bringing.
Oh, how nice
yeah.
to hear that.
So our leadership kids that were coming and helping there, and he said it also helped them too, because they'd be like, you got the sweatshirt on, so you need to be living with that sweatshirt.
That's right. You're wearing the colors, kid. You got to play by the rules.
Yes. So I think.
That's great. But that's a great thing to give a kid. It gives him those boundaries. It's like, no, you see, I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
Can't do that. I'm Catholic. Let's talk about, I do want to get to your, okay. Well, let's get to that right now.
Okay.
You and your, you two, mother and daughter, yeah. Pam and Jillian, have collaborated on this really cool new resource that's kind of born out of what you feel parents need and that you needed as a parent,
yes.
Pam.
Yes.
And one day you might need too, Jillian. So explain what this is, because I have a sample of it here. You brought me a gift.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's it called?
So, okay, you go ahead, Jillian.
Okay. So our company is called Faith and Family Collective, and we provide different products and resources. For families to help empower them to gather intentionally. And our very first product.
Gather intentionally. I like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Okay.
Our very first product is called the Gathering Box.
You're watching us. I'm showing it to
She's holding it up.
And now I'm going to open it.
Yes. And so this is our Celebrate Box. They're going to be coming out quarterly, so four times a year. To kind of yank it. Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to break anything.
Yeah, no, you're not going to break it.
I'll do it.
And the Gathering Box comes with everything
Ooh.
Inside to kind of create a new family tradition in your home.
Oh, wow. Look
to have
this.
A faith-filled conversation and to kind of gather together, put the phones away.
So you're
and
giving them
be
props,
present.
Like
yes,
of props.
Yes.
Oh, this is and what
and
this
language.
Is
props
so
and language.
It's
celebrate.
A celebrate banner.
Oh, nice.
So you hang the banner and then it comes with 20 cards. Celebrate Mondays, celebrate family, celebrate anniversaries, report cards. So all different things
yeah,
families
nice.
Might think to celebrate and also might not think to celebrate. So kind of celebrating the everyday moments. And it also includes a scripture verse
this
and some questions.
I mean, it's cool looking too. It's really
yeah.
attractive.
Thank you. To
that
discuss
was
with
one
family.
Of our biggest things because you know what? Sometimes when we see Catholic resources, they can maybe be scary for kids. You know, some of the pictures.
Or just old fuddy-duddy.
Yes.
stuff, you know?
So
way.
We were like, yeah, let's make this something that a family would want to put in their home and really and give them language, because I think that's the biggest thing is these cards.
Oh, these cards are so cool. So one of the is celebrate home a homecoming. Today, Lord, we celebrate a homecoming. We waited and someone special has returned. And then you have a passage from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
This is
yeah.
so thoughtful.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
And you
yeah,
don't.
Thank you.
You. It makes forces you not to take for granted mm-hmm. all the little blessings that come
yeah,
our way.
Yes.
Yes.
And to notice, kind of God, because I'm seeing this parents today. Today's parent, they sort of have looked at instead of seeing God in the midst of things, I think they see Him as like a Sunday commitment, mm-hmm. or you know. But so this idea of seeing Him in the ordinary and seeing Him in achievements, in report card, you know, in gifts is. I think very helpful for them to make the faith more relevant. And that's what families really want.
And so you should definitely check out their website. It is faith and a little plus sign, familycollective.com.
It's actually faith and spelled out.
Oh, you spell it out. Okay, because the logo shows it as a little cross in the
cross,
middle.
Yeah,
faith and familycollective.com. It's
exactly.
really cool, and it's very good looking. And we need these props sometimes. I mean, maybe we didn't used to.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
getting back to the whole thing about distracted, mothers and dads are distracted too, as well as the kids. So this gives us some little, you know, even in our Catholic faith, we like holy cards. We like rosary beads. We like accessories. We like stuff to work with. It keeps us, it keeps us focused on this stuff. So, this is very clever.
Too, there has become sort of, this idea that we take our kids, you know, to religious education classes, we take our kids to Catholic schools, and so that somehow they learn how to pray there. You know, that happens, you know, outside my car, and now I'm a carpool driver and I just take them to the next thing. So I think the idea of giving them language, because I feel like we sort of have missed some generations of parents, unfortunately, that don't even know how to maybe pray in their homes, that think maybe I have to be a catechist to be able to do that. Like I notice when I talk about an Advent wreath, I get blank stares, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why I even talked about that Pentecost cake. There are so many easy and delicious ways to kind of use your home as an opportunity to discuss the faith so that it becomes very natural, very second nature. It's not this affectation, like you said, Pam, that you adopt on Sunday.
Because,
so this is a great tool. And you also, in there, offer workshops that you and your mother both do. So you have one coming up next weekend.
Yes, at the Potting Shed in downtown Orange, so nearby here. And we're offering it on Friday night, May 11th, and Saturday night, May 12th. So
it's a mother-daughter.
Mother-daughter, grandma, sister.
No boys.
I'm out
of picture. I got three sets. Can't go.
But it'll be an evening of intentional conversation, and we're also doing a floral wreath workshop in a really magical setting. So feel free to look at the tickets at faithandfamilycollective.com.
And just the idea of being able, I think most of our stuff is just all about that idea of being able to go deeper and in, you know, not just have dinner together, but have a real meaningful conversation.
We've got to rediscover our conversation tools, because I'm telling you, I think that is a deficit right now in modern population. So we have another caller from Pennsylvania. Hey, Walt, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. So I'm going to talk a little pointedly here. Because I think the church is being too chickified. There's young men who are not interested in what you're talking about, safe spaces and that sort of thing. That sounds so... Young men are involved, want to be involved in adventure and trying to stop evil. And that's why they're so hooked on these video games. They have this artificial idea. They're saving the world and they're doing nothing, really. But they have this idea.
They're getting good at video games. You know, Walt, you bring up an excellent point, and I would like to throw that to our experienced leaders here. Do boys, young men and young women have separate needs when they're at the same time experiencing youth ministry programs? And do you address them?
They definitely do. I actually was extremely surprised just this year. So after they get confirmed as sophomores, they're allowed to join our leadership team, which is totally voluntarily. And more boys joined than girls this past year, which was very shocking to me.
Leadership, that's cool.
Yes, just because I think women are more apt to, like you said, want the safe space. However, I will say that need is deep down inside the boys as well. And they get, I think, a lot out of the small groups and those discussions, too. And don't worry, we play rambunctious, crazy games like human foosball and things like that to bring in their energy. And I think it just goes to show that I think their needs are deeper than we might think as well.
And Boy Scouts used to be that program.
Yes, true.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are, Walt.
You're using a buzzword called safe space.
Safe, so don't use it.
Safe space is, leave me alone, you hurt me, I don't want to hear what you want to tell me. And it sounds very chickified to me.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I think you are bringing a very interesting male perspective. Pam, you've had a lot of experience with it. And by the way, thank you, Walt, for calling in. We appreciate your perspective. What do you have to say about that, Pam?
What I would say, Walt, also is I am from a family. I only have brothers. I have three. Okay. And then in my bigger family, I only have Jillian, and then I have all nephews. Okay. So I have done a lot of work, even in my own home, with boys. And so I am seeing in our programs that more and more actually boys are coming and being a part of things. I know that what always, I hate to be cliche, but will attract high school boys is high school girls, you know.
And food.
And pizza. And pizza. Didn't we have that? But I am seeing more, it's kind of crazy too, like at a lot of my talks with parents, I'm seeing definitely more dads. And we are, and like Jillian is saying, you know, she's seeing more boys at her events as well. And but I do think you're right. We have to have, Jillian has a youth camp also where she takes them to do service projects during the summer and things like that.
Passes.
They want to be.
So and remember, Walt, that they are entrusted with teaching them our faith. Like I said, Boy Scouts, dads, high school sports, all kinds of other things are entrusted with the responsibility of keeping our boys boy. But I love your comment.
Absolutely, but
And you know what? Well, we don't have any more time, and I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that you called in at the end, because this is a very good, noble discussion.
And their needs need to be
And raising our boys to be boys. No, yeah. I totally agree with you on that. And I think you've made a great point.
Raise boys to be boys, not masculine girls. That's what the problem is with the culture.
Amen. You are absolutely right. No, I mean, he's brought up a good point, the gender specificity of some of these things.
Yes, I agree.
And unfortunately, we have kind of come to the end of our program. I mean, we could go on for another hour on this conversation for sure, especially with the dynamic input that you both have. But I also want to thank you very much for coming today, and I want to wish you both an early happy Mother's Day. I hope Walt would approve that I brought you flowers.
Oh,
a little bouquet of flowers for both of you guys. Happy Mother's
thank
Day.
You.
Oh, my gosh.
And more importantly, thank you for being, you know, this great maternal love for our kids and teaching them the faith, being, you know, Mother Church is female, and we love her, and we love you representing them. It's not an easy field. Youth ministry is very, very challenging. So I just want to express my gratitude to you both for that.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure, wasn't it, Jimmy G?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Lots of girls in the house. Hey, I want to tell you about some great programs coming up in EWTN's radio lineup for the rest of the day. You know that we have Barbara McGuigan coming up with The Good Fight, but really fun program at 7 p.m. Eastern with the Register Radio people. They are going to be talking about who's who in the Catholic commencement speakers for 2018. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern, Register Radio. But mostly, Jimmy G and I just want you to tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but you know, folks, please call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.